few days ago, I received an email from a young man who's very serious-minded and is discerning whether he has a vocation. And in the email, and he writes me from time to time for advice. So in the email, he said, "I don't know how to practice charity. I want to be more charitable, but I don't seem to have any opportunities." And the interesting thing is he was thinking, as most of us do, of the corporate works of mercy, to feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, to shelter the homeless, etc. And we don't think enough about the spiritual works of mercy. And so I would like to speak about two of them that we see so exemplified by our Lord and his passion. We'll skip over the first four, to admonish the sinner, to instruct the ignorant, to counsel the doubtful, to comfort the sorrowful, wonderful works of mercy. But it is the fifth and the sixth work of mercy that I would like to concentrate on. The fifth spiritual work of mercy, to bear all injuries. And the seventh, to forgive all injuries and to bear patiently with all trials. Bear patiently with all trials and to forgive injuries. And of course the seventh, to pray for the living and the dead. And we see our Lord in the passion forgiving, constantly forgiving. We could even say that when Judas kissed our Lord to betray him, our Lord's words to Judas were gentle. They were an invitation. And as it were, our Lord saying, "I'm ready to forgive you. Repent." Judas does not betray the Son of Man with a kiss. And then we find our Lord turning and looking at Peter in the hall of Caiaphas. And it was that look of our Lord when their eyes met that Peter was filled with remorse and went out and wept bitterly. And that look of our Lord was a gentle reproach, but it was also a look that offered forgiveness. But of course, above all, we have the words of our Lord from the cross. The very first word, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." What an incredible act of mercy and charity and forgiveness by one who was suffering so inhumanely, so horribly, so unjustly. And yet our Lord forgave in his first word, a prayer to his Heavenly Father to forgive. Of course, our Lord often spoke about forgiveness. I will read just a few of the many quotations in Scripture of our Lord. Of course, the Our Father, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." On another occasion, our Lord said, St. Matthew chapter 6, "For if you will forgive men their offenses, your Heavenly Father will forgive you also your offenses. But if you will not forgive men, neither will your Father forgive you your offenses." And we remember the story of the wicked servant who was not merciful to his fellow servant. His Lord called him and said to him, "Thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all the debt because thou besoughtest me. Shouldst not thou then have had compassion also on thy fellow servant, even as I had compassion on thee?" And his Lord, being angry, delivered him to the torturers until he paid all the debt. So also shall my Heavenly Father do to you if you forgive not everyone his brother from your hearts. So our Lord is saying, if we do not forgive, we will not obtain forgiveness. And of course, the first word of our Lord from the cross, and then we remember the stoning of Stephen, who, as he was being stoned to death, invoked, it says, kneeling, invoking and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." So these are just a few quotations of Scripture from among so many. And it is a wonderful thing we pray in the act of charity. "Oh my God, I love thee above all things with my whole heart and soul," etc. And in the last words of the act of charity, "I forgive all who have injured me and I ask pardon of all whom I have injured. And that is a wonderful prayer for us to say from our hearts, because again, to the degree that we forgive others, to that degree we merit forgiveness. And to forgive someone from our hearts, to forgive someone who has offended us, is really something divine. It's something beyond normal human ability. It takes God's grace and sometimes a tremendous amount of grace. When you think about the hatreds that exist in the world and individuals who harbor resentment sometimes for the rest of their lives towards someone for some injury, and what a terrible thing. This lack of forgiveness, this harboring of revenge and hatred, resentment, destroys a person. And yet, on the other hand, forgiveness frees a person from that burden and also merits to receive forgiveness in return. So that is something we should do during Lent, to reflect upon the fact, is there anyone towards whom I have harbored even a little grudge? Then I freely and willingly forgive everyone. Think again of those words of the act of charity. I forgive all who have injured me, and I ask pardon of all my injury. Those are words we should pray often, and pray thinking about them and meaning them from our hearts. Of course, our Lord not only forgave, but he also was concerned about others. We see this on the way to Calvary when the women wept over our Lord. Weep not for me, but for yourselves and for your children. And here he was in such a pitiable state, and he's thinking of others. So that also seems to go along with forgiveness. Someone who has that spirit of forgiveness is thinking about others instead of being so self-centered and focused on his own needs and desires and so forth. So let us reflect then upon the spiritual works of mercy, which are a great way of practicing charity. And remember that Lent is a time for alms deeds. And alms deeds include not only financially helping, which they certainly do, someone in need, but they include all of the corporal spiritual works of mercy. And that is a good practice for us to have during Lent and join it to our penances and our prayers.